The first reading for the seventh Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 1. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem for the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these, with one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers, the company of persons was in all about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David, concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us, and was allotted his share in this ministry. Now this man bought a field, with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. And became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so the field was called, in their own language, Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it, and let another take his office.' So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection." And they put forward two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, "You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Peter, chapters 4 and 5. "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's suffering, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous are scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you, for I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them, and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text today is John 17, verses 1 to 11, the gospel lesson just read. The sermon title is, Jesus Accomplished His Mission. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, one of my daughter's favorite TV shows years ago was called Scorpion. It was an American action television series loosely based on the life of computer expert Walter O'Brien. In the series, O'Brien and his friends helped each other solve complex global problems and save lives. Their team, called Scorpion, was said to be the last line of defense against complex high-tech threats around the globe. Each member of the team contributed a specific skill in which he or she had expertise. While they were frequently called into service by the Department of Homeland Security, they also accepted work from private individuals and organizations. Scorpion reminds me a lot of a TV show that I enjoyed when I was my daughter's age, and it was called Mission Impossible. Do you remember that? Mission Impossible chronicled the missions of a team of secret government agents known as the IMF, Impossible Missions Force. In the first season, the team was led by Dan Briggs, played by Stephen Hill. Then Jim Phelps, played by Peter Graves, took charge for the remaining seasons. A hallmark of the series showed Briggs or Phelps receiving his instructions on a tape recording that then self-destructed, followed by the catchy theme music composed by Lalo Schifrin. Impossible missions. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus reports back to his Father regarding his own mission impossible. John 17 is part of the lengthy prayer that Jesus offered up in the presence of the disciples on the night when he was betrayed. It thus comes at the end of his three-year mission on earth. And that included, one, taking up where John the Baptist had left off in proclaiming the approach of God's kingdom. Two, selecting a team of men for special training in theology, healing, exorcism, and pastoral ministry. Three, training those men through lectures, practical exercises, and personal experience. Four, preaching to the crowds in Galilee, Samaria, and Judea. Five, healing the sick, the paralyzed, the demented, and the demon-possessed. 6, raising the dead. 7, refuting the false theology and hypocrisy of the religious leaders. And 8, instituting the sacraments of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the office of the keys. Now you should note verse 4 of our gospel. There Jesus says to his Father, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. So in terms of his earthly ministry, Jesus could truly say, mission accomplished. At that moment in time, Jesus had only one more work to do, which was to suffer and die on the cross for your sins and for the sins of the whole world, thereby reconciling the entire world to God. By taking the punishment for the sins of all mankind on the cross, Jesus redeemed all men, women, and children by his holy, precious blood. On Easter morning, that mission was also accomplished, so that all who believe in Jesus and his word will truly be saved eternally. When Jesus' mission was done, he sent out his 12 apostles to the ends of the earth with these words, quote, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I commanded you. Matthew 28:19-20. And then, as soon as he had given that commission to them, he ascended into heaven. At his ascension, Jesus' mission was done. But his apostles' mission was just starting out. And they went out, just as Jesus had commanded them. And they started churches throughout Judea, Samaria, Galilee, the Roman Empire, and beyond. The apostles ordained pastors everywhere that they were able to start a congregation, and they remained faithful to death. We know from the early historians of the church that the following apostles and their associates started or served churches in these places: St. Paul in Asia Minor, Greece, Italy, and Spain. Mark the Evangelist in Alexandria, not Virginia, by the way, that's Egypt. Jude in Edessa. Thomas on the Malabar coast of India. Matthew in Mesopotamia. Bartholomew and Simon the Zealot in Persia. Andrew in Crimea and Kievan, Russia. Philip in Phrygia. John in Ephesus, and Peter in Rome. And every one of them, except for John, received a martyr's crown. For almost 2,000 years, the Christian church has continued to obey Jesus' command in the Great Commission by starting churches wherever its members have traveled and by ordaining and installing pastors to serve those churches. That is why the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod was established in 1847, just over 175 years ago, in the states of Ohio, Indiana, Michigan, Illinois, and Missouri, with one congregation in Buffalo, New York. That is why Grace Lutheran Church was established in 1922 in San Mateo, and that just over 100 years ago. Can Grace Lutheran Church say, mission accomplished? Now, for thinking about the organization of Lutherans that started the worship in San Mateo in 1922 to proclaim the biblical gospel and administer the sacraments, then yes, you can say, mission accomplished. The vision of those founders of Lutheranism on the peninsula by the San Francisco Bay was fulfilled early on. They were not only successful in establishing regular worship in this town, in baptizing and catechizing their members, and reaching out to the community, but they also, over the years, supported a very fine elementary school. And you can see the history or read about it in the little book that our centennial committee produced. You should never forget that your forefathers and foremothers at this church can say mission accomplished, probably beyond what they could have imagined. All the Lutheran saints whose bodies are buried at our local cemeteries could say, look, look here, mission accomplished, and you're all products of that mission. Can I, as a pastor, say mission accomplished? Well, if you mean by that phrase that my career as a pastor is finished, well, no, not that. The Lord has blessed me with good health so far, and there's presently no good reason for me to retire. Pastors and preachers serve in a place until they receive a call elsewhere or until they retire. Pastor Charles Froh, whom you all know, holds the record for the longest tenure at Grace for 30 years. And he still serves congregations on an occasional basis. Can we say mission accomplished regarding the work of our pastors here at Grace? I think so. But you know, we pastors really can't take credit for that. Credit must be given to the Holy Spirit, who always works through the word and sacraments when they're properly administered according to the word. Now, what about all of you who've been part of the mission here at Grace as officers, volunteers, leaders, parochial school teachers, Sunday school teachers, choir members, staff, etc.? You are all part of the priesthood of all believers, about whom St. Peter writes, quote, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a people belonging to God, so that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." 1 Peter 2, 9-10. Can we say mission accomplished regarding the work of our laymen, our officers, our leaders, our parochial school teachers, our Sunday school teachers, our choir and staff here at Grace? I think so. But we can't, again, take credit for it. Credit for this must also go to the Holy Spirit, who always works through the word and sacraments when they are properly administered according to that word. My sincere prayer for all of you is that you always remember that Grace Lutheran Church has accomplished its mission for 100 years. And that's something for which you should always give thanks to God. I also pray that each of you may continue to declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light until he comes again. In Jesus, our blessed Savior, whose mission on earth continues today through you. In Jesus' name, amen.